Okay, today we plan to go through 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Why love one another? You know, ever know that you needed to do something? There was something you really needed to do. You just knew it was the thing to do, but you didn't really know why you were doing what you were doing. That was sort of a problem. In fact, that was a pretty big problem that surfaced in the 60s. Teens were being told they needed to do certain things. They needed to be a certain way as far as their interactions with each other and or their interactions with society at large. But they were rarely, or all too often, rarely told why they are to do what they were being told to do. And so they questioned, and they didn't always receive a good answer, frankly, regarding their questions. For example, the question may be, well, why save myself for marriage? Why do I save myself? Why do I actually not fool around? Why don't I have free sex? Why don't I do this and that and the things I want to do? Because sex, love, and all of that was all part of the 60s movement. What's wrong with that? And answers would be like, well, that's the way to go, or it's a better way to go, or it's really what we need to do. We've always done it that way, or you want to be a good person, right? And other kinds of answers. But the biggest reason why is because our bodies belong to God. He gave us our bodies, and they belong to our future spouse. And so God knows who we're going to marry also. So God doesn't want us to mess around. Our spouse or our future spouse does not want us to mess around. We need to honor God with our bodies. We need to honor our spouse and respect our spouse with our bodies. And that's a good answer. That's a deeper answer. It's like, okay. And it's clearly God's will that we do that. There are various passages about that. Now, today's passage is all about loving one another. One of the dominant themes in John's writings, particularly in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and in the Gospel of John. Today's passage gives us the whys regarding loving one another. We're to love one another. We all know that we're supposed to. And yet, why? Why? And so we can know why we're doing what we're doing in this passage. It helps us to go deeper as far as the whys behind the love one another. Now, the fact that God said so is really enough for me. And yet here God gives us some of the answers as far as some of the whys. So let's listen to it. Now, background for this passage, the Apostle John's writing about what it means to be a child of God. A genuine child of God, that we're loved, that we're not recognized by the world. We're sort of different from the people of the world, the worldly system, a world in rebellion against God. And we have a hope that the world doesn't have, an incredible hope, and that we're being purified, we're being made more like Christ, sanctified is the term. We're to live rightly in a way that pleases the Lord. And we have internal safeguards that help us to say no to sin, yes to the Holy Spirit. And we have also a discernment that's given to us. We looked at that last week. There's opportunities for discernment, various tests we can give as far as to a teaching source or regarding an influence in our lives. So in today's passage, John makes it clear that a child of God is to love one another, and he gives us five reasons why. So we're going to pray at this time. Please stand. We're going to pray. Then we'll read through the whole passage. And we'll go through it verse by verse. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read. I pray that you would show us why we need to love one another. And Lord, deepen that desire in our heart and our willingness to do that. I thank you for the love that we see in this setting, one for another. And I pray that you'd cause us to go even deeper and strengthen those things, Lord, in our heart. So I thank you, Lord, for this passage. I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. We commit it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Please be seated. So why love one another? Five reasons to love one another. Reason number one, because we are loved by God. The first word here in this passage is beloved in verse 7. John addresses his readers, beloved, those who are loved by God. We're the objects of God's love. We're valuable in his sight. And that needs to well up within us, and it should well up within us, and it's able to well up within us an incredible desire, an incredible willingness to love other people. If we are loved, that opens the whole door for us to be a conduit of God's love to others. We've said it many times, if we're short on our love one to another, it's very possible that there's something stopping up our reception of God's love to each one of us. He loves us wonderfully. The question is, are we receiving it? Are we believing it? And are we living that way? An unloved teen, for example, tends to be a depressed teen. And depressed teens have a hard time loving other people because it's all about what they're going through. And they feel like they're the only one. They don't feel connected. Social media just doesn't do it. It promises a connection to the world, but it doesn't really come through. It doesn't really meet the fellowship need that is there for each one of us. So a depressed teen may hurt themselves. Cutting takes place, and drug overdoses take place, and just various pain that takes place. Or they may make destructive decisions. But the fact that we're loved by God, there is really no need to have to be depressed. We don't have to be depressed. We are loved by God, and we are free to love other people, incredibly free to love other people. And so we're loved by God, beloved. That's a reason why we are to love one another, because we're loved by God. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, because we're exhorted to. So verse 7 again, beloved, let us love one another. So John exhorts his hearers to, he says, let us love one another. That's what we're being directed to do, exhorted or encouraged to do. This is agape love, unconditional love. We choose this kind of love. It's not based on our feelings. This culture is so feelings-oriented. I feel like I'm in love. I don't feel like I'm in love anymore. So we're going to bolt on this marriage, or we're going to bolt on this relationship. It's like what we feel doesn't really matter. That's not the main thing. It's what does God want and what is pleasing to him. And so we choose this kind of love. It's not based on our feelings. And that's why it can be exhorted. And that's why it can be even commanded. For Jesus commands us to love one another in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This is Jesus commanding his disciples. And of course, each one of us would be part of that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So he is commanding us to love one another. It is based on, it's decision-based as opposed to feelings-based. We need to obey this command. He wants us to obey. It's a new command. It's a great command. It's an awesome command. We're called to continually choose to love one another. Continual choices to say no to the flesh and yes to loving other people. So one of the criteria for godly decision-making, if someone's looking to make good decisions in their life, is what's the most loving path? That is one of the criteria to keep in mind, is what does God's word say specifically? And a lot of times decisions, though, there's not really a clear, boy, there's no passage that says specifically, you know, go to the University of Michigan versus go to Ohio State. But we know that Michigan is the way to go rather than Ohio State. So we know that. But So a lot of times there are things that aren't in Scripture specifically. It gives us the framework for how to make a decision. But part of that framework is, what's the most loving path? What path will be the most loving path as far as love for you, God, and love for other people? And sometimes that's telling in terms of a job change, or this job change is going to require a lot more travel time. Is that really what God wants as far as my interaction with my family, and et cetera, et cetera? So that can help us to discern, God, what is your sort of, what is the path that will bring you the most glory? What's the path that will bring you the most glory? So it can play a part in helping us to discern God's will. Sort of the love test can play an incredible part. So that's reason number two why we're to love one another, because we are exhorted to. We're exhorted to. Reason number three, because of our new nature. Because of our new nature, verse 7 again, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So love is of God. It's from God, originates from Him. And all who love as He loved are doing so because they've been born of God. They've experienced spiritual birth, a work of God. God's seed remains in that person. That person's been regenerated, a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. And since love is of God, those who are born of God are by their new nature able to love in an incredible way. It's part of the work of God in our lives. He's given us a new nature. We have the old nature and the new nature. The flesh is the old nature, dwells there, and the Spirit dwells in our new nature. So believers have been given a new nature where the Holy Spirit dwells, and that nature knows God and communes with Him. It says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Think about it. We who are made alive spiritually know God personally. We have a personal relationship with our Creator. What an amazing thing. And we're able to cultivate an incredible relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that relationship spills over into our relationships with other people, and especially with other believers. So as we cultivate a very close relationship with the Lord, at the same time, it just spills over, and we just have a wonderful time loving other people. And that sort of shows, it demonstrates our internal faith. If we're sort of bitter against God, and it turns out we'll have problems with our relationships with one another. Folks who go church hopping, church to church to church, and they can never find the right church, and they have a critical thing to say about every church they've been part of. It turns out a lot of times there's a blockage in their reception of love. So we help people to, hey, get your love relationship with the Lord right. And maybe you need to go back to a certain church and make things right. And then come back here if you're called to come back here. But make things right. So, why love one another? Because of our new nature. In verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if someone does not love, particularly brothers and sisters in Christ, that person does not know God, it says here. Because all who know God are born of God, and their new nature has an incredible capacity to love. And there's a desire to love others who are also born of God. It's against our new nature to hate other believers. It is against the new nature that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has infused into us, as far as that new nature we've been given when we were regenerated, when we were born again, when we came to spiritual life. It's against that nature to hate brothers and sisters in Christ. We can have conflicts with brothers and sisters in Christ, but what do we do with that conflict? Do we work things out? Do we pray for the person? Do we agree to disagree? Or maybe it's so important that we have to go separate ways, at least for a while, but it's done with love somehow. Somehow it's done with love. So it's against our new nature to hate other believers. Think about that. Give that some thought. But a person who has not been born again can only love in a natural way. They have no access to the supernatural love that's available to a believer and to a believer only. So why love one another? Because of our new nature, the new nature that we've been given. That's a great reason to love one another. The flesh is incapable of loving brothers and sisters in Christ. The flesh has no interest in serving, no interest in sacrificing, no interest in forgiving. The flesh wants to be the center of the show. Oh, and there are consumers. The flesh is an incredible consumer. But our new nature, that part of us where the Holy Spirit dwells, it loves to serve. And it's willing to sacrifice. And it wants to forgive other people. It doesn't hold sins over their head or try to get them to even up. Again, it's against our new nature to hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. So picture this, our new nature, and it's constantly speaking to us. It's actually the Holy Spirit who does the speaking, but picture this just for the graphic quality here as far as picture the new nature constantly speaking to us saying, don't do it, or do this. This is a great opportunity. Send the person a card. And again, it's really the Holy Spirit who dwells in the new nature. But it's like, we've been given a new nature. And the Holy Spirit dwells there. And there's a communication that takes place as we cultivate a sensitivity to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So reason number three why we love one another is because of our new nature. Reason number four. Reason number four. Actually, we looked at why love one another? Because we're loved by God, we're exhorted to love, and because of our new nature. Now for number four, why love one another? Because of God's example. He gives us a wonderful example. Verses 9, 10, and 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God might send his own only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Pretty clear. So at verse 9, it says, in this, so in what follows, then he says, the love of God was manifested, it was demonstrated, it was expressed. It was demonstrated or manifested toward us. So personally toward us, the love of God was made known or demonstrated or expressed. Then he said, God sent his only begotten Son. So Jesus, he's the only begotten Son. He's of the same substance as the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have the same substance. We as believers have been adopted in, but we're not begotten sons. We're adopted sons and daughters. So God sent his only begotten Son into the world, so giving up the display, the splendor of the display of the glory of Jesus Christ. He gave that up to take on humanity, that we might live through him. We were dead in our trespasses, spiritually dead and physically dying. That was the result of good old Adam and Eve. We were spiritually dead, physically dying. The death process, the decay process entered in at the time of the fall. But God sent Jesus so that we can come alive spiritually. We were dead spiritually, now we come alive spiritually. And we will be given new bodies fit for eternity. So we look forward to that hope, which will complete the work of restoration, where we're given new bodies also in eternity. So the entire drama of Scripture, where unclean humanity gets cleaned up again, not by their own works, but by the work of God. In verse 10, this is what love is all about, not that we loved God. Paul says in Romans 5 that we were enemies of God. Spiritually, we were enemies of God. Each one of us is like, no! You know, we want to do what we want to do. That's sort of the way it is as we are kids, as cute as kids can be. There's original sin still. It's not hard for a two-year-old to learn how to arch the back and say, no! It's like, interesting phenomenon we have here. And they didn't learn it with other little kids. They didn't have any class that said, this is how you get what you want from your parents. You arch your back, you cry, make them think you're miserable, and that they have to give in order for you to, in order to restore peace, because I'm in control. So even as a two-year-old, who's in control? parents or me? It's like subtly, and especially 3 and 4, they become more aware of that. Maybe not consciously, but sort of subconsciously, a little closer to awareness. So we need the Lord. That's the bottom line. There's humanity is as cute as humanity is, as wonderful as far as so many aspects of humanity, made in the image of God, and yet that image has been marred. And we need to be cleaned up, and that's what Jesus did for us. We were enemies of God. It says in verse 10, but he loved us. And so here's how he showed it, by sending his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction, the payment for our sins. That's propitiation, the satisfaction. God's wrath has been fully satisfied, completely, fully satisfied. And then verse 11, beloved, so you who are loved by God, and he says, if God so loved us, in other words, in this way, unconditionally, that's how he loved us, then we also, or we ought to love one another. So we need to love other believers in the same way that he loved each one of us. And of course, there's a love for humanity as a whole, but especially the focus here is on loving one another. And by our love one for another, the world ends up seeing that we're very different. So why love one another? Because of God's example. His example. He not only told us what to do, but he showed us how to do it. So that's why we're to love one another, because of his example. That's what he did for us. Let's do it for others. There was a football coach I was speaking with not too long ago. And he was talking about his sort of coaching style. And it was interesting. This particular coach, he said, yeah, there was one player who I could tell the player the theory of what to do, but I realized it wasn't really coming through. I wasn't connecting with that player. So what I learned to do is I lined up against him and I showed some kind of technique. I pancaked him or did something that showed him a technique. And then he said, go and do likewise. Go do the same thing on the field. Go do what I did to you. Do it to other people. And the player got it. And the player said, ooh, ooh, that's, ooh, I can pancake others in the way that I got pancaked. So the football coach, he learned that in some cases it's not just words. It has to be the actions. It has to be an example. And then some people were geared toward, we just got to see it. We've got to see it in order to really take it in. So that was reason number 4, why we love one another, because of God's example. And then reason number 5, final reason, why love one another? Because it shows God to others. It shows God to others. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So our hidden relationship with God is expressed in our relationships with one another. No one has seen God at any time. So it's a hidden relationship. And our interaction with God and people's interaction with God, it's in some ways a very hidden kind of thing. Now, if we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, it follows that God abides in us. To abide is to remain, to continue, or to dwell. Thus, if we love one another, God abides, he remains, he continues, he dwells in us. So loving one another is a huge way in which God is shown to the world. So not only that, his love has been perfected in us. So perfected means completed, the idea of maturity. As we love one another, we're becoming more mature. We're experiencing God's love more in a more crystal clear way, and we're experiencing it horizontally with other believers. And we're matured in the process. That's what it's all about, becoming more like Christ. More like Christ. And then doing his will. So why love one another? Because it shows God to others. Others see what God is like by looking at our relationships. They get curious. And they say, what's different about those people? Josh McDowell said when he was on campus, he was not a believer yet, and he was looking around, and he saw this group of people that seemed to be a little bit different from everyone else, quite a bit different from everyone else, and he sort of was wondering, what's different about you guys? And finally, In fact, he sort of asked low-key, he said, I asked one of the women, she was a really good-looking girl, and I asked her, and I just, on the side, I just sort of figured, I just sort of asked her. And the response was, it's because of Jesus Christ. And so very bold. So he thought he was going to get sort of a soft answer. And she said, it's because of Jesus Christ. We're believers. And it's like, he's like, hmm. And he immediately wasn't sure what to do with that. But later, he researched the resurrection. Because he was challenged. If you can disprove the resurrection, then you can go ahead being an unbeliever all you want. If you can disprove that God, that Jesus was dead and then he came alive again, then if you can somehow prove that, then the apostles are all liars, the word of God is a sham, and it's not all real, and we don't serve a living Lord, it's just we're going around just doing what we want to do. And so he took on that challenge, and he could not disprove the resurrection. He couldn't. So finally he said, the evidence is overwhelming, and he submitted himself to the Lord. Sue was drawn to Christ when she saw a couple who really loved one another. And she was drawn to that couple. It's like, they love one another. And that's important for a teenage girl to see that. And so, and for each one of us to see that. And so she was like drawn to that. And they eventually led her to Christ. It was from a couple who seemed to have a good marriage. And they loved one another. So every marriage is like a work of art. And you're on display before a world that needs desperately to partake. So God draws people into that work of art saying, boy, that's a great work of art. Say, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus and what he's done in my life. So why love one another? There are lots of reasons given. Lots of reasons. We love because we're loved by God. We're those conduits of his love. We love because we're exhorted to. We're exhorted, we're urged by John, and we're commanded by Jesus. And that's good enough for me. And we love others because of our new nature. Our new nature cannot hate. It can't hate believers. Our flesh can do a lot of hating. And it can do a lot of, makes things really painful. Yet our new nature can't sin. The Holy Spirit can't sin. Cannot sin. And the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us, to our spirits. So because of our new nature. And also we love one another because of God's example. He not only told us what to do, but he showed us how to do it. And then we love one another because loving one another shows God to others. It's the work of art given as a demonstration of God's work in our lives to others, to draw them and to show them. I can't see God. He's in creation, and there's ways that he can sort of be discerned, and yet he's not really visible, but he's most visible in the relationships between one believer and another believer. So personal application, questions regarding this passage as far as application questions to our lives. Regarding the fact that we're loved by God, are you convinced that God loves you? Are you convinced? And it doesn't have to be the daisy of, he loves me, he loves me not. I don't feel love today. It's like, who cares what your feelings are saying? It's like, are you convinced? Because God said in his word, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. The cross is proof that he loves us and loved us and loves us. And then are you allowing his love for you to flow through you to someone else? Nothing in the way and nothing blocking that conduit. Regarding the fact that we're exhorted to love one another, are you willing to obey John's exhortation and Jesus' command? Are you willing? Each one of us, are we willing? Are we saying no to being controlled by our feelings? It's like, I don't care anymore what the feelings are saying. I care more about what faith says and what trust in the Lord says and what God says in his word, and I want to respond to him. So the modern psychology world, often there's a focus on, well, just let your feelings out. It's like, no, your feelings should be filled with flesh. Someday you could let them out, but then confess them if they're not of the Lord. And don't celebrate every feeling you have. Just say, Lord, I submit my feelings to you. Help me to know what should I do? What ought I do in any given situation instead of what do I feel like doing? Who cares what I feel like doing? So regarding our new nature, are you cultivating a sensitivity to listen to the Spirit's corrections when not walking in love? And the Spirit's promptings on how to walk in love. And regarding God's example, have you thanked God lately for his example, for sending his son Jesus to go through all that he went through for you, for each one of us? And then are you purposing to follow God's example? Are you purposing to say, Lord, I'm going to do it. You showed me this technique on the football field. I'm going to now show it on the football field to others. And so the football field of life, you showed me how to do it. I'm now going to do it to others. And then regarding showing God to others, is there a Sue in your life who is watching your life very carefully, looking for genuine love? Is there a Sue possibly at the office or possibly in your extended family or a neighbor, extended family, various relationships, a friend? Is there a Sue who's watching your life looking for genuine love? Are you asking God to help you to be a good example? Lord, help me to learn how to love other people better, more effectively. And it's all, help me to receive really your love so I can be a better example. And then are you willing to be used by God to love others into the kingdom? Are you willing to be used by him to sort of see the lights turned on in the lives of a prodigal or of someone who's never given his or her heart to Jesus? He wants to use each one of us for his glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Lord, help us to continue to love one another. Thank you, Lord, for the love that's evident, very evident in this setting. And I pray, Father, that you'd cause it to grow even more so. Lord, there's never a final absolute that we reach on this side of eternity. So I pray, Father, for you to help us to continue to grow in love. And I pray for every Christian marriage here, Lord, that the marriages would be just beacons, drawing people and expressing the reality of God to people who desperately need to know. So help us to love one another and even more effectively by the grace that you give us, not by our own efforts. Lord, for anyone who's yet to come to a point of faith, who's yet to respond to your gospel, who's yet to surrender to you, repent of their sins, I pray, Father, that they would hunger for this kind of love. They would hunger for it, and they would not be satisfied until they discover it by receiving you, by asking you into their life, and by opening up their heart and saying, Lord, take control. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. Lord, that means you're going to call the shots from now on. Give me a hunger for your word. I want to live differently now. I want to experience this. And we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.